As an employee-owned financial firm, Baird offers advice solely focused on clients' needs, while consistently investing in their expertise and capabilities to serve those in need. More information at baird-difference.com.
How could you be anything but wonderful on a day like today, especially if you have your daughter here visiting and you've got an extra puppy dog running around in the house? It has been really a wonderful time up until the time Teresa smashed her finger in the door. So we had a trip to the doctor's office, and thank goodness we've got a wonderful doctor that just took her right in and took care of her, and she's much better today, and so we're going to be heading out to the fair.
Well, that's what that was going to be my next question. Why?
Right.
It's too nice to go now. You're waiting for it to be absolutely perfect here in a couple of hours, and it will be. That's the best part.
Absolutely. Well, I had sort of thought, well, maybe we'd just go on out to the fair, and I would do this radio spot from out at the fair, on location.
That would have been great.
I have visions of perhaps my cell phone not working as it should out there, whatever. But anyway, she's ready to go. So when we get off this phone, I'll get ready to go, and off we'll go.
All right, for people that haven't been to the fair, Marty, you're an expert. So let's just call you what you are. How do you I don't want to say attack the day, but do you have a set way to go about it, or do you just beeline for your favorite food? How do you take it all in here in the summertime?
Oh, there's so much to see. You just cannot do it on one short trip. But please make sure that you take a look at the animals that you want to see and so forth while you still can, because they don't stay through to the end of the fair. So I know that a lot of younger folks who are going with parents, and they get there and the animals are gone. They're disappointed. So make sure you get that done. I have a good friend whose granddaughter was showing an animal. I think it was this morning, and won some awards. And another friend whose grandson was showing. So, I mean, it's an exciting time. You know, I had someone mention to me, well, they would like for their children to be involved with 4-H, but they didn't live out on a farm or anything. But I want to remind people, there's a lot of projects that 4-H young people can do they can live in a subdivision. There's a lot of other projects. It's not all about the large farm animals. So just, if you want your children to be involved with that 4-H program, please do get in contact and get going on that, because it's a wonderful program and a great way to spend the summer and winter months learning so much that they have to offer. And so I wanted to mention that as well. But then, let's say if you've done that, and of course you've already gone past the ice cream if you get over to where, let's talk about where the food is. And at the very same place is that wonderful stand with the tenderloins and the fish sandwiches. Oh, so good. How do you pass that up? So
you can. The smell gets you first, and then you're following along trying to.
it's just really. And then of course, I love looking at the flower show. That's always something I always make sure. And I like to go in and look at the 4-H projects and all the sewing projects, because that's how I grew up, looking at the sewing projects. And my sister was always winning the, where they would model the things that they had made. And my sister Dawn was always great at that, and she always won these awards. But you know what? People love going through the commercial buildings and, picking up either the yardsticks or the fans or whatever. Yep. That's always a fun thing for people to do. They like it.
You get out there and you fill your bag up with all the goodies and promotionals and everything else that goes on. And if you love the rodeo, that's tomorrow night. And if you love Demolition Derby, that's on Saturday night. And before I let you go, though, Marty, I don't want to forget that locally, Ellettsville is going to be the center of activity when it comes to fireworks, and that's going to be Saturday night.
I know, and I'm going to have a full house for that, and that's going to be great fun. The puppy dogs won't be happy, but the young folks going will be happy. They like going to that, and they really like ours the best. from Ellisville, because it's just that small town feeling you still get, and really appreciate having that here. But, you know, we might, if you want to, we could go about some other things that's been
sure.
in the
Whatever
news.
You, yeah, let's get, like us, let's get everybody caught up, because we know once we hit the 4th of July weekend with the fair and all the other things that come along with it, let's just get everybody caught up, and then they can forget about it tomorrow when they're enjoying the 4th of July weekend.
Right. Well, you know, there are people who are recognizing that it is time, like if you're involved and you want to see the ballots filled, whether you're Republican or Democrat, any empty spots on those ballots can happen. On the Republican side, the meeting the other night allowed the Republican chairman to fill those slots. And then the Democrats are having their caucus on July 3rd at noon, and they would have, they could give that Democrat chair the right to fill any slots, or they might have people to vote right then for some slots to fill. Now, July 3rd would normally be, at noon, would normally be the deadline time to be at the election office to turn that in. That's not the case this year, and we know why. Because when you look at your calendar, July 3rd is Sunday, and July 4th is a holiday. So that puts that deadline to July 5th. So we will not know until July 5th at noon, and I don't mean 12:30, I mean noon, that those party chairs can turn those numbers in. Now, not just anybody can fill these slots. It has to happen through party caucus or the party chair, and then they take those documents into the election office, and they must have it there by noon. And by then, we will know what our real ballot is going to look like for the fall.
So when we talk next Wednesday, we'll know what that looks like?
Yes.
Perfect.
Absolutely, we will. So that's the way it goes. So I know there's been a lot of conversation as well about whether or not to restart the convention center project
Who would restart that conversation, Marty? Is it a joint deal, or does the mayor say I'm going to go first, or does the county council say, or the commissioners? How does that process get started back up?
Well, you know, when they had the meeting of the formal commission that is over the food and beverage tax, so not the tourism commission, but the food and beverage, that was mentioned at that commission that they wanted to move forward and actually wanted to put some money on hand to be able to restart it. But they cannot make that decision. Remember, it all has to go. I mean, it's great that they would say they recommend it, but the request to use those dollars would have to come from the legislative body of either the city or the county, and that is for the county. Legislative body is county commissioners, and the legislative body of the city is the city council. So they could make the request of the Convention and Visitors Commission to say, yes, that's, you know, we would like to do this, and then they could spend. Now, I want to make sure that I'm not getting the two things mixed up, because there is the Convention and Visitors Commission. There's also the commission having to do with the food and beverage tax. So I've just sort of read different portions of it, but the rule about spending money out of that food and beverage money is that request has to come from the legislative bodies. And then to actually appropriate that money has to come back to the councils for appropriation. So that is, if they really want to take money from that food and beverage money, that's what they would have to do. Now, let's talk about the food and beverage money. Let's see if I can pull that up. I had that pulled up a while ago. It is a huge dollar amount that they have now in that. So, it's exceeding even our better numbers before.
Really? Oh, that's interesting.
Right. It's very much exceeding that. So I mean, that certainly gives you the thought that indeed the revenue could be coming in. Now, whether or not they still would want to build one as large as they had originally planned or not, that will be, you know, up to folks to make that decision. That would be whether or not they want to revisit that or just move forward with wherever they are on it now.
And that's the, right, hurry up and wait kind of part, right?
Yeah, right. It seems like we do a whole lot of hurry up and wait. And now some discussion was had last night's county council meeting, which I did not attend because I had a daughter who was damaged. I wasn't going to leave her. But I tried to watch part of it, and there was discussion about some of the project list of using the ARPA money for, and part of it was for some of the renovation of our current convention center, which I've said all along we need to make sure we continue to take care of that, because even if you started right now to move forward, it's going to take a while before you would get a new convention center ready to go. And even with that, it's supposed to include our current convention center. So whatever needs to happen, we need to be, you know, making sure that we're doing all we can to preserve that building. But that was part of the discussion at last night's meeting about how much of that, what direction to go with those proposed dollars. So that kind of a discussion is ongoing, and I understand there's going to be future meetings in August, not just the convention center, but having to do with perhaps a survey and bringing in the public to help decide where all these ARPA dollars will go. One of the things on the list was dollars for work around the airport and having to do with just getting ready for sewer hook-ons, and whether or not if you can't hook on the city, would we need to do something ourselves and so forth. So there's a lot of major decisions that will have to be made ongoing with this ARPA money.
How long does that ARPA money, quote unquote, stick around? Do you have a timeline on that? You have to spend it by a certain time?
You have to have it committed. It doesn't have to all be spent out, but okay. It has to be. And there's a lot of rules to that, exactly how it can happen. One of the things that they talked about last night was this: it was over $600,000 for incentives for the county employees to get their vaccinations. So that, and we had gone ahead and spent some of this money, and we were hoping to get it reimbursed through this. So if that can all work, that would be good, because I don't think we would have done to that extent that kind of money if we didn't think we were going to be able to use the ARPA funding to do it. There was also some discussion about how we could help having to do with ambulance service, but the new ruling from the state having to do with using funds for ambulance service is tied to if you do ambulance service throughout the entire county. And, you know, we don't have, the county does not provide ambulance service throughout the entire county. So, and actually not any one group does. So I don't think you could put in a special revenue source for that. But the other thing that people are discussing, and it's coming up on us very quickly, is making a final decision about where that jail should be placed and how it should be paid for and what it should look like and so forth. I know there's been discussion in the past we could have had a special jail tax, but we didn't get that. The county council are the ones who vote on having that jail tax, and that would be an income tax, but the conversation is we would use the economic development income tax, which was recently passed by the city, and take the county's proportionate share to help pay for that jail, but then it would have to be backed up, one would think, perhaps with regular property tax back up, simply because we don't know for sure how much of that economic development income tax we would get having to do with the annexation. Or if we tie it to that, will that then hold that money back because we've already obligated it out of that income tax? That is just a real important that we make sure we have our financial advisors looking at it. We don't just assume we know, because we need very clear, real advice on that. And in every case, these huge bonds, just like that big $8 million bond out there on the west side, it was backed up with general obligation money, which means everybody throughout the county would have to help pay for that bond if the revenue didn't come in from that TIF to help pay for that.
Well, luckily that's coming in, though, right?
Construction. Well, so far, so good. But, you know, if you're talking about how much you're going to get, just like with the city, they were talking about they were going to have this TIF for fiber.
Yes.
I can't remember.
Yeah. The fiber network,
so,
yes.
Right. So you're talking about TIF means the growth, not where it's heading now, but the growth from there. And since it would be difficult to determine exactly how much that would be, I expect if they go out and do a bond for that, I would not at all be surprised that it would have to be backed up with general obligation just from the city, because it wouldn't come back, because that would be a city obligation. So that wouldn't come back to the entire county. But when the county puts forth a bond, remember, everybody lives in this county, whether you're in the city or out of the city. So those are things that we have that they are major decisions that will be made. The final decision about how the money is going to flow will be up to the county council. And so that's why it's so important that the county council really focus, laser focus on financial issues, and don't get lost in the weeds with every other political thing going on, because it's our job. You know, and
money,
if you don't
money.
Yeah, if you don't want to do that, run for something else.
It's the fiscal body of the government, and that's what
right. And so that's the way that works. We are saying goodbye to our IT director, who has just been really doing yeoman's job. But you know, there's time when people are saying, "I'm ready to move on," and so he is. And the goodbye for that is, I think it is tomorrow. I have to look again to see what day it is. I hope I didn't already miss it. It might have been today. Everything's going in together. But
that's
I'll tell
right.
you, one of the things at the meeting last night was the correctional officers came to talk to the county council, having to do with things that would normally be discussed with county commissioners in the form of contract negotiating their contracts with their union. I thought it was rather unusual for them to be bringing it to the county council first, because they don't negotiate it with the county council. The union negotiates it with commissioners, because they are the body who signs off on contracts. Nevertheless, one of the things that they felt was really a big problem was because they're being asked over and over again to work too many hours in a row, and that's a lot of pressure if you're doing jail work, to be, you know, have to put in 12-hour days or whatever. That's just, and so they're concerned about the time frame and so forth. There were a lot of things that they felt like would have to be different, but we have to remember that's up to the sheriff to determine what the hours would be and so forth. That's not up to the county council. We cannot do that. I mean, if they want to make sure we know their concerns.
Yeah, is the reason they're doing that because the sheriff's job is going to change? It's going to be a new sheriff, or is that part of it?
Be a new sheriff in town for sure. But I also think, and I've talked with you about this before, that when you start seeing that you have shortages in any department, and you cannot get those filled appropriately and have them be able to stay long-term enough to get the job done, then something has to happen, whether it's changing schedules or, but in general, it's almost always give me more money. And we see that not just for them, but in probation officers. We're seeing probation officers just not staying around as they had in the past. Same, you know, so we know we have to work with our highway department and our jail and our probation officers and all those folks, and we better be treating really well all those people who are already working and doing the job and not just looking for new people to fill the slots, because then you have to go through the whole training process. So
yeah, and that all costs now, money. That's all, yeah. Retraining
right.
people is a humongous burden on your budgets, which are interesting as well. And I talked to Lisa Ridge on Monday, and she said she's had to go ask for a little bit more money too to make sure to keep fuel in the trucks.
Right, right, and that's what we're finding throughout county government. It's not an easy thing, because we're going to have to do some major adjustments just even this year, and trying to project out for next year, and trying to project out what kind of expenses we are going to have for next year, because we're going to have to do something about all these additional expenses. Everything is more just the same as everything is more in your own household. So these are important decisions. Let me talk about, real quick, I know it's time for you to go, but our beautiful memorial that has been redone, and it's one of our things on our bucket list that we are going to see before Teresa heads back for Florida. We're going to head for the History Center, and she wants to see, go through there, but we also want to see the Alexander Memorial and see all of the work that's done on that, and then go inside the courthouse and see the old parts that they took off. And so that is going, the dedication is going to be on the day of the parade, and it's supposed to be right before the parade starts. And I heard the commissioner say this morning that if inclement weather would happen, they don't expect it really to, but if it does, they will go, proceed with a dedication, and they will take that inside the courthouse. Now, I have not heard them say the courthouse will be open otherwise, and so it would be nice if they could leave it open. So there's so many people downtown, and they could use the restroom facilities. I have not, but
captive
not
audience,
said,
captive audience.
I get that. I just have to say that I'm not in charge of whether or not that courthouse is open. So folks, don't be mad at me if you can't find the restroom, because I'm not in charge of that building. I do not know. Hopefully the commissioners will announce very quickly whether or not that will be available, so people with small children will be prepared. And it should be a lovely day, and I'm looking forward to it. And I hope that you and your family will enjoy it as well.
Well, we're hoping to get down there. Hopefully all of our the ducks fit in a row, and we get to do we got some things to get to before the 4th. So we're hoping, fingers crossed, that we can check off all the boxes. Get out to the county fair. Enjoy it. Tell your daughter hello. And we'll get back together on Wednesday the 6th and start talking about July.
That's right, boy. It'd be another hot time in the county then.